dismiss for Kid City. Scripture reading for today is Ephesians 3, 1 through 6, and that can be found on page 977 of the Pew Bibles. Again, the scripture reading for today is Ephesians 3, 1 through 6. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Thank you, ETL, and good morning. It is a momentous day for us, our last Sunday at Blaine Elementary School. A place where God has done a lot of great things. Some of you have met your husband or wife here. Some of you were baptized here. Some of your kids were baptized here, dedicated here, as one of my kids was. Next week, we'll be meeting for the first time at Lakeview Adventist Church, and it'll be the third location for the North Side to meet. I believe that puts us at a tie with the downtown and Pilsen congregations, but still a couple of moves behind the Hyde Park congregation. So we've got some catching up to do, you see. It's a momentous day for us, but also a perfectly normal day for us as well. Because like God does every week, he's called us together to worship him and to hear his word. That's what happens every week, no matter where we are. That'll happen next week, and that's what's happening today. We've gathered together to hear his word, his voice, through the reading and preaching of the Bible. And what his word is saying, what God is telling you this morning, is that the secret's out. The cat's out of the bag. Something that we didn't know before is now out in the open. There are all kinds of reasons for keeping secrets. Some couples like to keep the name of their baby secret because they don't want people saying, oh. People who are spies like to keep secrets. People like Alger Hiss. He was working at the U.S. State Department. But really, he was working for the Soviet Union. He was spying for them. That was Alger Hiss's secret. He was a Soviet spy. Well, God has a secret too, but it's not a secret anymore. That's what our passage is about. And here's the secret, that even someone like you can be a part of God's people. That's his secret. So let's pray as we come to listen to what God's saying about this secret. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word through the writing of the Apostle Paul. We thank you that the secret is out and that even people like us can be a part of your people. Help us now to understand your word, to be encouraged by it, and to apply it to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, let's look at the big picture for a moment. Let's look at who he's talking to and what he's talking about. Look at who he's talking to in verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you, Gentiles. So he's talking to you, Gentiles. A Gentile is someone who's not Jewish. On Taylor Street, on the west side of Chicago, you can go to Gentile's Bottle Shop for all of your high-end beverage needs. I don't know why they call themselves that, but that's what a Gentile is, someone who's not Jewish. And Paul's writing to people like that, to Gentiles, people like you. There are a lot of people of Jewish ethnicity or heritage in Chicago, but by and large, my guess is that this congregation does not fall in that category. Most likely, ethnically speaking, you are a Gentile. So Paul's talking to people exactly like you. That's who he's talking to. So what's he talking about? Well, he starts off talking, saying in verse 6, for this reason. But then you notice he doesn't finish his sentence, really. Now look down at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. He prays. In other words, it's like Paul was going to offer a prayer based on what he was saying at the end of chapter 2, but then he interrupts himself in verses 1 through 13 and doesn't get to that prayer until verse 14. So he's interrupting his prayer to make this point. So what's his point? Well, during the scripture reading, maybe you noticed a word that kept popping up. And this is an important key as you try to understand the Bible. Words that keep getting repeated are words that help you tell you what the whole thing is about. So did you see the word that kept popping up? Mystery. Paul's talking about a mystery. So verse 3, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. Verse 4, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. Now verse 6, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus, the gospel. So mystery is the key word. Paul's talking about a mystery. So what kind of mystery are we talking about? Well, a typical meeting in my community group will involve us all sharing our mystery recommendations. Books about a murder, and a detective who solves the murder. And of course, the bad guy is never the guy you thought it would be. It's a mystery who the murderer is and why he or she committed the murder. That's the kind of community group I go to. This is really nerdy or it's really dark, something like that. But if you like mysteries, come join our group. We've got some great recommendations. Well, is that the kind of mystery that Paul's talking about? A problem that needs to be solved? No, it's not that kind of mystery. Let me encourage you to keep your Bibles open, as that will help you to follow along. But look back in your Bibles to chapter 1, verse 9. He says there, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Okay, so he's talking about a mystery there. Now look over at the end of the letter to chapter 6, verse 19. Chapter 6, verse 19. He's asking for prayer there, and he says, and also for me, pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So let's put those together. It's a mystery that is set forth in Christ, and it's a mystery, the mystery of the gospel. In other words, the mystery, broadly speaking, is God's plan to rescue his people through a son. It's not a problem to be solved kind of mystery. It's a secret plan that has now been made known. It's an open secret now. A secret. It's God's secret that wasn't known before, at least not fully at least, but now it's been made known. The cat's out of the bag now. This is what God's doing in the world. So to put all that together, he's talking to Gentiles, people who aren't Jewish, people like you, and he's talking about God's mystery, his open secret about God's great rescue plan, how even the Gentiles are part of God's great rescue plan. That's what's going on here. Now, that may not sound very exciting to you. Maybe you grew up in church, like I did, like David Wright did, he told us a bit ago. And it's perfectly obvious to you that people like you, Gentiles, if you want to call yourselves that, get to be invited to God's party. Well, that's not perfectly obvious. It hasn't always been that way. It's perfectly obvious to us that we should have presidents and not kings, but that wasn't always perfectly obvious. We had to have a war about it. It's perfectly obvious to us that owning other human beings is very bad, but that wasn't always perfectly obvious. We had to have a war about that one too. So it's not perfectly obvious that someone like you can be a part of God's rescue plan. It's a mystery that's now been revealed. It's only now an open secret. That's what's going on here. So what does Paul say about this secret? But 2 points very briefly. At first, it's a costly secret. It costs a lot to Paul. Verse 1 again. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. So Paul's a prisoner of Jesus. But he's not just speaking metaphorically. He's not just captive, a captive of him, air quotes, doing his will. No, he's actually in prison, and he's in prison because of this mystery. Our community groups this past fall studied about this in the book of Acts. His preaching the gospel to Jews and Gentiles got him in an awful lot of trouble. It got him thrown in jail. And that's helpful to keep in mind because especially if you're the kind of person who has doubts about your faith, or maybe you have too many doubts to have faith. There's a line of thinking which says that all truth claims, or all claims that something is absolutely true, including religious claims, that all those are just power plays, just tools to keep you in line, to keep people in line. So that's the line of thinking that you'll hear in your college history class or English class or on slate.com, places like that. Truth claims are just power plays. Well, that doesn't seem to be the case here for Paul, does it? This truth claim got him thrown in prison. And maybe that's a good argument for believing that this isn't something he made up. This isn't a tool for to gather a following. This is something that he believed so fully, something that captured him so completely that he suffered greatly for it. He was willing to suffer greatly for it. He was thrown in prison, and eventually we know he was executed for it. It's a costly secret. Secondly, also very briefly, that Paul says how the secret came out. Paul reminds them, he reminds us, first of all, of what we've heard. Verse 2, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. So Paul has been made a steward of God's grace. That is to say, he's been given the privilege of preaching God's grace. And that grace, that mystery, was made known to him by revelation. He's referring to his conversion, when God converted him. And God said there at Paul's conversion in Acts 9, "Go, for he, Paul, is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." So that's when this mystery was revealed to him. That's what they've heard. But then he appeals to what they've read, or what they can read, verses 4 and 5. "When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So this mystery, in other words, was unknown before, but now, through Paul and through the other apostles, the Spirit has made it known. It's kind of like the TV show Lost, which I watched via Netflix in the middle of the night while trying to get baby number 2 back to sleep. And if you watched Lost, there's something new revealed every episode, and then another question raised, which doesn't get revealed until the next episode. That's what the show was built on, is something unknown being made known. And so for the mystery of the gospel, God's open secret, his rescue plan, is only now made fully known in Jesus. So, you can read the Old Testament and learn an awful lot about what God's up to, but the full thing, the final reveal, doesn't come until this point. That's how the secret came out. That's how the cat's been let out of the bag. So then, this secret, this open secret, this mystery, it's a costly secret. It's a secret that came out to Paul and the other apostles by the Spirit, and not before. Lastly, though, but most importantly, what is the secret? What is the mystery, really? He's been talking about it in verses 1 through 5, but he hasn't said what it was. In verse 6, though, we hear what the secret is, what the mystery is. Verse 6, "This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." So that is what the mystery is. This is what the open secret is all about. And now notice that there are three parts to it. First, it's that Gentiles, people like you, are fellow heirs. In other words, Gentiles are heirs with the Jews, their fellow heirs. So what does it mean to be an heir? According to my trusty American Heritage Dictionary, which sits within arm's reach of my desk, an heir is a person who inherits or is entitled to and the estate, rank, title, or office of another. So an heir inherits something that belongs to someone else. So how do you become an heir? Well, according to most of our laws, you're an heir if you're family. If my next-door neighbor kicks the bucket, I have no claim to inherit his house. That would be really nice to have two houses next to each other. I could escape to one, have peace and quiet all by myself. It sounds really lovely, but that's not how it works. I'm not an heir to my next door neighbor. I do not stand to inherit his estate if he picks the bucket. There's not going to be a raffle. There won't be an essay contest on the block to see who gets his house. The house will go to his heir, someone in his family. So that's an heir. But what's a fellow heir? Paul says you are a fellow heir. So what's a fellow heir? Well, a fellow heir is someone who inherits from someone else along with another person who also inherits from that same person. So I am not the sole heir of my parents' estate. I have a brother. We are fellow heirs. And one day, God forbid us anytime soon, we will inherit together what belongs to them. We're fellow heirs. And that's what you are. You, Gentiles, are fellow heirs with the Jews. Your family. Now, that's the mystery. That's the open secret. It was hinted way back in Genesis 12. You don't have to turn there, but listen to this. God tells Abraham there, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So there's the promise. Abraham would be the father of a nation, the head of a family, and all the families of the earth would be blessed in him. So God's open secret then is that all the families have been blessed. They've been blessed, you've been blessed by becoming members of the family yourself. You see? Some of you come from healthy families. Some of you come from messed up families, or at least messed up above average, because we're all messed up a little bit. Some of you live near your families. They're probably out in the suburbs, whereas you're in the city. Others of you are like me. You moved to Chicago for work or for school, and your family's a long way away. It's a 12-hour drive to get to my family. Some of you have a lot farther to go. Some of you have to cross an ocean to get home. And I don't know if you wish you could see your family more or if you're thankful for the distance. Families can be wonderful and messy at the same time. But what God wants you to see here is that the very best of what it means to be in the family, that's what you are. The pick you up at the airport after months away kind of family. I'll be there for you no matter what kind of family. Your fellow heirs, you're in the family now. You've been adopted in, you're written into the will. Fellow heirs. But also, verse 6 again, members of the same body. God's open secret is that Gentiles, people like you, are members of the same body. So God's people are not just the family, they're also a body. And you are part of that body. This is an interesting word, members of the same body. It's one word in the original, and as best we can tell, it's a word that Paul just made up. There's no time where we see that word before this time in Ephesians. It's like Paul just kind of made the word up. Not many people can get away with that. Shakespeare could do it. Paul can do it. And there's not a word that fits what you're saying. Your name's Paul or Shakespeare. You can just make the word up. So that's what Paul's done, made up this new word, which comes out in English to members of the same body. So what does that mean? What's the point? Well, my right thumb, my right ear, and my left knee are all members of the same body. And I value each of them equally, but in different ways. They're members of the same body. I'd be very sad to see any of them go. So to be members of the same body means that you're part of the people of God on the same footing as everyone else. You're not expendable. You're not the pawn that can be thrown away on the chessboard because that's all that you are, a pawn. No, you're an equal. Many years ago, on summer break from college, I spent the summer as a lifeguard at a very posh, very old money country club. It's the kind of place that you don't just get into. You have to have a family member in there before you. When Michael Jordan did his stint playing minor league baseball back in the mid-90s, and the White Sox sent him down to the Birmingham Barons, the AA team in my hometown, he applied for membership at this country club. And why not? Jordan loved golf. He was also immensely wealthy. He should be there. So why not be a member of this club where the clubhouse overlooks both 18th holes of this immaculate golf course? Why not? Well, Michael Jordan was an outsider. He didn't have family in the club, and he was denied. It was that kind of place. And that's where I was a lifeguard. And it was very clear, it was made very clear that I was just the help. I worked there, but I didn't belong there. I couldn't sit out on the pool deck chatting on the phone during my break. And on Saturday nights, when there was an open buffet in the restaurant, and even the staff could eat at it, we had to wait until all the members were served first. We ate last. We weren't on equal footing with members, and we never would be. We were just the help, staff. Well, in the people of God, there is no members versus staff classification. There is no gold membership for people born into it, like the Jews, and a silver membership for like the Gentiles, people like you who are added in later. There's no dean's list for the really good Christians and certificates of participation for everyone else. No, everyone, you are members of the same body. You're on equal footing. The open secret, the mystery now made known, is that someone, even like you, is fully a part of the people of God. One more part to the mystery. Your fellow heirs, your members of the same body, and one more there in verse 6, your partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. Your partakers of the promise. The word partakers means that you're sharing something with someone. If we partake over a pizza, it means that we're sharing the same pizza. We get to eat the same pizza. It belongs to both of us. We each get our slice. This past week, my family partook of the same stomach bug. We share the same experience of having to sprawl ourselves over an open toilet. TMI, maybe, but hopefully it gets the point across. To partake means that you share something, that you share food or to share an illness. But here, it's to share a promise. We're partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. So what promise is he talking about here? What is this the same thing as being a fellow heir? I don't think so. Listen to what Paul says earlier in the letter. Look back for a moment at chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Paul says there, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Here's how New Testament scholar Peter O'Brien puts it. He says that this is a reference to the substance of the promise, that is, to the Holy Spirit himself. In other words, to partake of the promise in Christ Jesus means that you also share in the Holy Spirit, who was promised by Jesus, given as a guarantee of your inheritance. You share in the Holy Spirit, even someone like you. That's the mystery. That's the secret. The same Spirit that Paul says in Romans 8, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." That's the Spirit you share in. The Spirit who tells you, yes, you really are part of the family. Yes, you really are a son. You really are a daughter. You really do belong. That's the Spirit you share in. That's the promise. Or as Paul says later in Romans 8, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." The Spirit who prays for you when you can't find the words to pray. That's the Spirit you share. Even someone like you. So that's the mystery. That's the open secret. That Gentiles, someone like you, our fellow heirs, you're members of the same body, and you're partakers of the promise, the same promise in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit himself. That's what it means to belong. God's open secret is that you belong. You weren't born into it. You didn't earn it. But he's brought you in now. And he did it, he says at the end of verse 6, through the gospel. The word gospel means good news. He brought you in to be a fellow heir, to be a member of the same body, on equal footing as everyone else, and to even share in the same Holy Spirit. He did all that through the good news. The good news that Jesus died for you. Because you weren't a good enough person for God. You weren't good enough to be part of this family. Maybe your story is that you've done a whole lot of bad things. You've hurt yourself and other people in serious ways. Or maybe your story is that you've done an awful lot of good things, but you've done them for the wrong reasons. To prove yourself to God, to make yourself acceptable to him. But whether your story has a lot of bad things in it, or even a lot of good things in it, it all comes down to the same thing. You've turned away from God. You've turned away from him by doing bad things, or you've turned away from him by doing good things self-righteously. But either way, you've turned away from him. But the good news is that God loved you anyway. And he sent his son Jesus to die for you, to pay the penalty in your place for turning away from him. And then he rose again from the dead. And when you turn to God and put your trust in Jesus, yes, he saves you. He rescues you from judgment. But he also does these things he says here in verse 6. He makes you a fellow heir. He makes you a member of the same body. He makes you a partaker of the promised Holy Spirit. So, what does all this mean for you? Well, if you haven't turned to God, if you haven't trusted in Jesus, then this mystery, this open secret, it doesn't really describe you. Because if someone like me can get into the party, then so can someone like you. And if you turn from the bad, rebellious things that you're doing, or if you turn from the good, self-righteous things that you're doing, and you turn to Jesus and trust him, then all this can be for you. This can describe you. But if this is describing you, if you have believed the gospel, and if you are a fellow heir, a member on equal footing, and someone who shares in the promised Holy Spirit, in other words, if you are a Christian, then I think the right takeaway for you from this is joyful, wonderful surprise. I mean, even someone like you gets all this? You weren't born into it. This isn't your cultural or ethnic heritage. Not in the long run, at least. I'm pretty solidly Anglo-Saxon. That's how one customer from my Starbucks days described me. He didn't know my name, but I was the most Anglo-Saxon looking, he said, compared to the Puerto Ricans and Mexicans and Germans and Scandinavians who also work there. So maybe you're Anglo-Saxon like me, or maybe you can trace your heritage from somewhere else in Europe, or maybe from Africa, maybe from Asia, maybe from Latin America. Wherever you come from, your heritage, from the perspective of the Bible, it's an outsider's heritage. You weren't an heir. You weren't part of his body. You didn't share in the Spirit, not in your heritage. You didn't inherit this by blood. You weren't born into it. And you certainly didn't do anything to earn it. So I guess the biggest takeaway is to remember again how much you don't deserve all this. And how loving and how merciful and how gracious God is. Who even lets someone like you be a part of his people. So that's the mystery. Cat's out of the bag, secret's out. Even Gentiles, even someone like you can be a part of God's people. It's God's open secret, a mystery made known, a secret that costs Paul a lot personally, got him thrown in jail, got him killed, a secret that was revealed to him and the other apostles at a particular point in time, and a secret that says that Gentiles, people like you, are part of God's people now, your fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the same promise, the Spirit. Do not take it for granted that you are a Christian. Do not take it for granted that you are here today. Do not take it for granted that you are a follower of Jesus. At the end of the day, it all comes down to the unexpected, surprising, undeserving grace of God. You didn't deserve it. You couldn't have predicted that it would have happened this way. But by his grace, even someone like you can be part of his people. In a few moments, David Wright is going to set the table for us. Then after that, Jung Sun and the team are going to lead us in a new song for us. And here's the chorus of that song. You have loved us like you love your son. We are heirs with Christ, bought by his blood. Oh, how great the love that we've been shown. We are your children now. You made us your own. He made you his own. That's God's mystery, his secret. Let's pray.